Welcome back to 32 Fans in 32 Days. Today we review week 2 of the NFL and preview week 3, and we are recording this as the Monday Night Football game has just come to a conclusion, and that means that Akiva is in a great mood, as is our special guest who jumped on to celebrate the Jets, Av Sinensky. Akiva, Av, how are you guys right now?
I'm fired up.
Feeling good. That was a nice win.
Yeah, that was a nice win, and it was a rather surprising win, to put it mildly. Akiva runs a survivor pool, and in that survivor pool, and I also, as some people know and those who don't know would expect, I keep a power rankings every week all season, and I have done that for about 10 years. And yesterday in my power rankings, for the first time ever, each of the bottom five teams in the NFL won. Tampa, Oakland, Jacksonville, Cleveland, and Washington all won, as did the Jets, who I had at 24. So, Akiva, what tends to happen to a survivor pool when the worst five teams in the NFL all win in the same week?
We started with 64, and it's over.
In week 2.
Yeah, well, I was really rooting for the 55-way tie, then everyone just split 90 cents or something. But one guy picked the Carolina Panthers this week after picking the Jets last week, so he won. A lot of money.
Well, so there you go. The Survivor Pool's over. Survivor Pool podcast that analyzes that each week is probably over. How long did this pool go last year?
I believe you won, and it went all 17 weeks.
Oh, I did?
Yes.
Oh. I don't remember that.
I know it went all 17 weeks. I believe it was you and another person, but he...
Oh, yeah. I split with another guy. Yeah, that's right. So it's actually funny because the year before that, I won your pick six league where, you know, you pick six games against the spread each week.
Yeah.
And when it comes to picking against the spread, you know, again, so 2 years ago, I must have at least done all right if I won your pick six league. This year, in picking against the spread, I'm off to the best start that I've ever had in my entire life. I went 11-5 in week one. I went 13-3 this week, but among that 13-3, my lock of the week was the Colts, and they lost, of course. And in pick six, I went 3-3. So I think it just proves that gambling in the NFL is just luck, and it's stupid, because all the games that I thought I knew about, I've been wrong on, and all the games that I was just sort of randomly guessing, I've pretty much gone undefeated.
Yeah, I actually went 6-6 this week, but of course, multiple other people did also, so... The pot was split like three or four ways.
Wow, so you're saying my 13-3 isn't even that impressive? Was this like a bad week for Vegas?
13-3 is always impressive.
Was this a bad week for Vegas?
Who cares?
Yeah, I don't know. Vegas always does okay.
Explain to me, you know, Akiva's crowing because, you know, his Jets are 2-0. His argument that the Colts outside Andrew Luck are a terrible team looks good. And maybe Andrew Luck's a terrible player all of a sudden. So maybe I should crow because I was the one who said he was very overrated. How did the Jets win this game?
The defense played, I would say, very well. Not as good as probably the final score shows. They got a ton of turnovers. They got a ton of turnovers last week also. Going to the season, I think a lot of Jets fans saw the numbers from last year and said, you know, we had one of the worst turnover differentials in the league last year. That's going to regress to the mean. We're going to do a little bit better. Maybe we'll be a little better of a team this year. I don't think anyone expected this. Forcing five turnovers in each of the first two games, including three fumbles near the goal line. I think the Jets have recovered every fumble in the two games that they've played this year. So, you know.
Yeah. So there's a little bit of regression there, probably.
Yeah. I mean, so it's probably a little team, bit.
The other team's been doing the fumbling, to be fair. So it's not like we're.
Well, the Jets had that play last week where Fitzpatrick missed the snap and went all the way back to the one and he somehow recovered it. I mean, again, you know, the defense has been playing well. The offense has been playing solid. I think that they have been the better team in both of the two games. So I don't think it's been like lucky that they are 2-0, but I think that if they want to be an 8-8 team, they're probably where they need to be. If they want to really contend for the playoffs or something more, they're going to have to start playing a little bit better, I think, because I think that the defense has been kind of bend but not break and forcing these turnovers at the goal line, which, you know, you can't really count on that continuing to happen. You're not going to get four turnovers from the quarterback every single week. So I think I'm very pleased with what I've seen, but I think that this defense can do better.
So ordinarily, the way we do our weekly podcast is we go through the next week's games, guessing the spreads. Last week, Akiva did not guess them, but this week he did. So we'll get to that. And then we use discussing each game to discuss how those teams did the previous week. But because we're on the Jets and Colts right now, the game having just ended, let me just ask you guys. Well, so, you know, you think the Jets still look maybe like an NA team a little bit better. Is Ryan Fitzpatrick the quarterback when Geno comes back, or too soon to tell?
I think there's a good chance he will be. I would say I haven't been totally thrilled with the way he's played. I've been pleased more than expected. I think he still makes a lot of terrible decisions. I mean, there was probably like 6 or 7 times tonight where he forced the ball downfield into double, triple coverage when anyone watching this game saw that the intermediate throws and over the middle was just wide open all night long. There was no reason for him to be throwing the ball downfield. That one that was picked off at the goal line. There was a couple more to Brandon Marshall, to Inyanwa down the field where, like, why are you doing that when they can't cover Decker over the middle? I think Decker had like 7 or 8 catches in this game. The middle of the field was wide open and he's just forcing it in there. And that's just not what you want to see. But I mean, if the Jets are going to be 2-0, 3-0, 4-0, 3-1, somewhere in that range, I mean, I don't think they're going to take the job away. So I think if he keeps playing like he's playing, the Jets keep
although
playing
it's similar games. To last year with Brian Hoyer, they were 6-3, but Hoyer wasn't playing particularly good, and they did eventually, you know, take away the job from him.
Yeah, I mean, and listen, it's always a possibility. Maybe there's no way for us to know what the new regime thinks about Geno Smith. Like they didn't draft him. He was inherited from the previous general manager. We just literally have no way of knowing. They might think he's amazing. They might think he's garbage. We'll know when he becomes available. I think they said towards the end of the game, Todd Bell said, listen, if we're playing well, we're going to run with Ryan. That's going to be the way it's going to go. So I guess it remains to be seen, but being a Mets fan, I tend to not trust anything anybody says about when my players are going to play or anything like that.
All right, Akiva, and can you tell me how bad are the Colts actually? Because their division is still bad. Their schedule is still easy. I can't imagine them not winning this division, even if only a 10-6. But, I mean, they just lost at home to the Jets.
Well,
they've lost badly both their games.
I mean, this wasn't real. I don't think this was such a surprising result, to be honest. Like, they had no way of controlling. I would say, I'll say that it was actually shocking how much the Colts controlled the line of scrimmage, because I think most people assume the Jets would dominate on both sides, but they didn't sack Luck once. And, you know, the Jets, until the end of the game, when they were able to establish a passing game in the last one drive, they didn't really run the ball. So, you know, the Colts did some things well. The biggest Colts problem right now is that their second and third best players on the team went out with injuries during the game, Hilton and Vontae Davis. So, you know, that's scary. But listen, they could go 8-8 and probably still win the division with the way Houston looks so far. They're not a scary team. They're going to get killed by any good team. Like, look back to the AFC Championship game last year. They have a lot of that in their future. There aren't that many great teams. But when
going to the AFC Championship game is a pretty good future.
No, totally. But they're already like, you're halfway there in that division, and if with a competent quarterback.
And you got a home game in the first round of the playoffs against, you know, the AFC North runner up or whoever it is you're playing. I mean, yeah, Andrew Luck already. And look, part of what I said about Luck in the preseason when I was poo pooing him is I said he turns the ball over too much. He had 2 interceptions in the first game, he had 3 interceptions today, and he lost the fumble. You know, those are, I mean, even Jay Cutler would think those are bad numbers.
And on Akiva's point of the sacks, I mean, I would say, you know, I guess they didn't have any sacks tonight, but I thought they had really consistent pressure on him throughout the night. And at least 2, if not all 3 of the interceptions were directly the result of pressure that forced him to make a throw that he should not have made, or he made 2 before he wanted to make. So I think sacks is not the only thing that you want to look at. The Jets have one of the best defensive lines in the league, but they dominated Colts offensive line tonight, I thought.
All right, so let's jump into the Week 3 games. Akiva, Thursday night we have Washington going to New York. I guessed this line, Giants are favored by 6. And what did you say for the line on this one?
I have to tell you what I guessed on everyone?
How else would this work?
That's why I sent you, that's why I emailed them to you.
So you want me to just talk the whole time?
Oh, no. I'll tell you, but I got
to
find.
Do I get to guess now since I'm here anyway?
Yeah, you can guess.
Awesome. I got to find the email.
Have you seen the lines yet?
I have not.
Okay, so Washington at New York.
Yeah, I'll guess Giants by 3.5.
Oh, so I'm going to add Av as a special column in this week's episode, and Av actually wins this one.
Well, what did Akiva? Oh, we don't know. Oh, you know what Akiva got.
And I picked Giants by -5.5.
Yeah, so you said 5.5, I said 6, and so you're better because it was 4, but Av's better than both of us. Av thinks the Giants and Redskins are just about even at this point. The Giants are still like 2 plays away from being 2-0.
Yeah, the Giants are clearly the best team in that division. You should go right now and put like $5,000 down on them winning the division because...
Wait, who's the one who called them to predict to win the division before the season?
Josh Berliner?
No, well, yeah, but also me. And I don't actually know why I'm bragging because they're 0-2 and they're not.
I don't know if Berliner's prediction has turned out correct, though.
Yeah. No, the 16-0, he got a premonition that a New York area team would go 16-0. Oh, I see. And he mixed it up.
Oh, okay. So Washington, or, you know, Washington, all of a sudden they think that they're going to win the division because they're the only team. I mean, they're the only team with a win in that division who has anybody healthy on offense.
Yeah, but they don't have anybody good on offense.
Yeah.
Matt
Jones looks pretty good.
Yeah, the new Walter Payton.
Yeah. Waiver wire hotshot for week 3.
Oh, in our league, he's owned and the owner can't stop crowing. Although he had him on his bench, so he wasn't that excited about him.
You've said the word crowing about 6 times already in this podcast.
Oh, I have?
Yeah. I mean, it's a good word. It's a good word. I like it.
All right. It's a very... All right, so let's go to Sunday then, because the NFC East is really a disaster. And let's just finish off the NFC East over here. We have Atlanta going to Dallas. Look, I underrated the Falcons in each of the first 2 weeks, apparently, and I did again this week. I have Dallas by 1 at home.
Yeah, I had Dallas by close the email.
No, you have if you want to guess? I should be guessing before we say our lines, I guess.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. I would still have like Dallas minus 4.
Okay, so Av is way off on this one. And Akiva,
I have Dallas. Who are they playing?
No, you had Atlanta by 3.
Sorry, I had Atlanta by 3.
And you won this one because Atlanta's actually favored by 1.5.
Wow! All right.
So people are really low on the Brandon Whedon, Terrence Williams Cowboys.
Well, I had Atlanta winning division in our preseason predictions podcast, if I remember correctly, and yeah. I'm really liking that Atlanta. You know, just the upgrade from Mike Smith to Dan Quinn is worth like a whole bunch of wins. You know, Matt Ryan, I think, realized like, oh, if I just throw it up to Julio Jones every play, then it'll, you know, something good will happen. And Tevin Coleman looked pretty frisky before he got hurt, and he's not, you know, his injury's not that bad. So I do think they have a foundation there of a competent team.
And the main thing they have going for them still is the division is so bad. I had the Saints winning it at 8-8 and the Falcons at 6-10, but I had the Falcons losing the first 2 games. So, and I had the Saints beating the Bucks. So just if you reverse those outcomes, I now have the Falcons winning it at 8-8 and the Saints and Panthers both at 7-9. So I don't know if they're a serious contender yet, but I think they're definitely the class of that weak division. And this next game and this line, you know, again, we guessed these lines before the Monday night game. So this is Indy at Tennessee. Do you have a guess on that one? Indy at Tennessee
before that. I'll say Colts plus 1.5, or however you like. Colts 1.5 by favorites.
All right. So yeah, you have a little bit of the benefit of having seen that game. But again, we had the line before the game. So I had Colts by 6.5. And Akiva, what did you have?
I had the Colts by 3.
3.5.
3.5.
3.5. Yeah, and you won because it's Colts by 4.5. And again, that might move even further down. I thought this line was shockingly low, considering the Tennessee is who we thought they were, as they got blown out by Cleveland in week 2. But again, what is with this Colts team? You know, we just automatically chalked it up as Tennessee and Jacksonville is 4 automatic wins for them. Is there a chance they could lose this game?
Oh yeah, they could definitely lose. They could lose to anybody there because they're not good.
Wow. But doesn't Andrew Luck have to have a game with 350 yards and 4 touchdowns just waiting?
Yeah.
He's faced 2 tough defenses in the Bills and the Jets.
Yeah, it's true. I mean,
Tennessee is not a tough defense.
I do think that the teams going through the AFC East this year, and maybe not Miami for some reason, my Super Bowl winner pick hasn't looked great, especially defensively the first 2 weeks. But I think the teams going through the AFC East gauntlet are going to have, you know, a stretch of games where, you know, they look like the Colts have the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. Speaking about crappy AFC teams, Oakland at Cleveland is next. What's your line? What's your line for that barn burner of a game?
I don't even know if I want to guess that. Browns should
no,
be,
no
should
line,
be,
no interest.
Yeah. No, I'll say Browns by 4.
Browns by 4. Av nails it. He's doing pretty good at this game. Akiva and I
both said... It helps
that
he has the newspaper open in front of him.
I'm looking at the Jets-Colts box score right now and pouring over every detail.
Akiva, that's how Bill Simmons has done it for 5 years on a successful podcast. So
it's true. they've never once said, oops, I saw that line. Can't pick that one.
Yeah. We have Cleveland by 3. I thought these are two bad teams who both won in week 2. But Vegas and Ob still like Cleveland a little bit over Oakland. Johnny Manziel hype?
No, I always like Cleveland at home, actually. It's one of my, like, I don't know, favorite bets. They're usually underdogs or one-point favorites at home, and it's usually one of my favorite
I would love
bets
to see the Browns schedule against the spread at home.
Yeah,
five years.
It's probably terrible. I'm probably wrong.
Yeah. All right. And now we have a game which, the Colts are looking bad at 0-2, but the Ravens, 0-2, losing at Oakland. But they finally come home. They're hosting the Bengals. Do you have a guess on that line?
I'll say Ravens -1.
-1. So Av is on board the Bengals. The line is 3. Akiva got it exactly. Cincinnati and Bengals and the Ravens are the same teams. I had Baltimore by 3.5, and the reason I gave the Ravens that half point spread is because they're 0-2 and the Bengals are 2-0, and I cannot imagine a scenario where the Ravens go 0-3 and lose at home to the Bengals. But am I wrong?
Well, I thought the Ravens were really good. Kind of based on like a tough week one loss, but now we're like, oh, like the Ravens defense isn't great necessarily. It's just that the Broncos offense is so terrible. And then you look at the Ravens offense and, you know, like Justin Forsett's fine, but Flacco has no weapons. And, you know, Torrey Smith isn't the best player in the world, but, you know, he had a stretch last
year. They're really missing him though.
Yeah. They had a stretch last year where like you need two guys to worry about him every time he runs down the field. And you know, Steve Smith is 1,000. They really didn't. I mean, you just look at the difference between the Steelers and the Ravens and the Bengals and, you know, the Ravens, like, you know, they have receivers coming out of their ears, both those teams, and the Ravens have none. And, you know, I don't know. It seems like 10 teams in the NFL have all the good receivers. And then there's like 20 teams that have nobody.
I'm personally a huge believer in the Bengals. I think that they're the second best team in the AFC after the Patriots. So, I mean, I guess you could see that in my line.
Is that a shot fired at the Jets?
At the Jags or the Jets?
They both won.
I like both of those teams too, but I think the Bengals, I think, have the best skill position players in the NFL.
But they had them last year, too.
Hold on a second. Andy Dalton's their quarterback.
I don't consider a quarterback a skill position. Receivers and running backs and tight ends.
You don't need skill
positions. And defensive backs. I think they had last year, too, and they got killed in the playoffs.
Well, they had a lot of injuries last year. AJ Green missed a few games. Bernard missed a few games. Marvin Jones, I think, missed a few games. And even with all of that,
they need Marvin Lewis to miss a few games. That's what they need.
Yeah. That could be. But I think they're going
to. Do you think they could go to the Super Bowl? Do you think they could win the AFC?
I think at this point it's hard to say anyone's going to go into New England and win, and that's probably what someone's going to have to do.
Well, okay, so let's start at level one. Could they win a playoff game, which Smart
yeah, I think
never
they can.
Does.
I think
been
that
coached for a dozen years.
I would agree. They can win a playoff game this year.
I would see them losing the AFC Championship game to the
I'll say this. Patriots. Even if they go 14-2, if they don't win a playoff game, he has to get fired.
Akiva, are you revising your AFC East winner from the Ravens, which we both had in the preseason?
AFC North.
AFC North?
Yeah, that's true.
No, I'm not going to revise it because, you know, that's worthless now, but I have liked the way Pittsburgh and Cincy have looked.
Well, not, so you still think Baltimore's going to win it though?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's still, you know, like a pretty normal 3-team race. Like I know the Oakland
yeah,
loss
just, looks
it's really so
bad, hard to come back from 0-2. Yeah.
But you know, they, no,
I don't
the
even care about
Oakland.
That. It's hard to make up those two losses.
Yeah.
They're down 2 games already. I mean, if they lose this game, they're down 3, and Cincinnati has the tiebreaker with a home game coming. I think this
you
is a must-win
for Baltimore.
Tell them
not to lose this game.
This is an absolute must-win for Baltimore, which is why I gave them an extra half point. I cannot envision a scenario where they make the playoffs if they lose this game.
Yeah, I mean, the Bengals probably won't really be trying very hard in this game because they
don't. No, it's not an issue of that. It's just, you know, but you know, any trick play you have in the playbook, I mean, they have to pull everything out in this game.
Yeah, fair enough. Listen, I guess, well, you said the line is 3, so I guess.
Yeah.
I guess that's not, Vegas doesn't see it the way I see it. But yeah,
all right,
I see the Bengals as the superior team here. So
this next game, Akiva said in the preseason, would be the darling of all Survivor players. But in our league, of course, it's irrelevant because we don't play Survivor in week 3. That's Jacksonville at New England. Do you have a line for us?
Oof. Jacksonville at New England. I'll say New England by 13 and a half.
All right, you obviously do have the newspaper open because you just got that one exactly. Also,
come on.
Why are we assuming? I like how we assume you're like an old man of who like reads a newspaper. The newspaper. Yeah.
I have yesterday's New York Times.
That's how I check the lines. On Jewish holidays, when I cannot check the internet, my neighbors across the hall get the New York Times on weekends. So, like on Saturday and on Rosh Hashanah. I wake up early and I go try and read their sports page before they wake
I've
up.
I've done that. I've
which
done
is,
that.
You know, on the Jewish New Year, the best thing to do is steal your neighbor's newspaper.
I believe the actual name of the newspaper that was the Shame on You New York Times.
Okay. So, all right. So this line, I had the Pats at 12 and a half. So I was one game too low. Akiva, what about you?
I had, I think, what did I have? The Patriots by 13 and a half?
You can't
14
you can't
and a half. Sorry, 14 and a half.
Yeah, yeah.
14 and a half.
I already have your picks. Yeah, you had 14 and a half, so we split this one. Open. Yeah, we split this one. You know, there's really not a lot to say here. Look, the Patriots have only won each of their games by a touchdown. But
yeah, Jacksonville. No, they beat a really good team, and it wasn't really – that wasn't a touchdown game so much. It just ended
seven.
And they were destroying the Bills also. So, like, that's not – it's not really fair. And, like, two frisky teams, the Bills were, you know – coming in with all the momentum in the world, then they, you know, they move the ball all day on them. The Patriots are really, really good.
Yeah, yeah. From a gambling perspective, though, I think there's another chance for a late garbage time cover touchdown here, which would make the Pats, which would make the Jags, I think, a decent pick.
Yeah, this is
they've been in a foul mood, so they might just win by 40, and there might not be that sort of opportunity.
Well, we said that the first 2 weeks hasn't happened.
There's a gambling podcast I listen to where I think this is what they would refer to as a close your eyes special on Jaguars, where you feel horrible doing it, but you're not going to lay 13 and a half points. And I actually don't even think Jacksonville is that terrible anymore.
No, they're competent. They're like,
I think they're going to be a frisky team this year. I don't think they're going to be in the playoff race, but I think they're going to be a tough out for a lot of teams.
Yeah, they're totally inept.
Akiva, we forgot, you know, we pick just straight up heads, winners and losers in each game. Last week, I went 10-6 doing that for the second week in a row. What was your record? Do you remember?
Wait, you went worse against the just each of the last the winners than you did against the spread?
I've done that each of the last 2 weeks.
How is that possible?
It's kind of crazy. First of all, it's because I keep picking all the dogs to cover. And it keeps working, like Tampa Bay, for example.
Right.
Yeah, well, look, all the bottom teams that won this week. I picked them all to cover, but I picked them all to lose, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, it's unusual. But it's going 10-6 in straight up heads and winners is actually kind of bad. You should be able to do better than that. But of course, I've gone really well against the spread. So I think those numbers will sort of revert to the mean, and I'll be, you know, 500 against the spread or a little worse, and I'll get a little bit better picking. But so, Akiva, Do you have your record from last week's podcast? Do you remember offhand how you did this week?
I think it was 16-0.
All right, yeah. So okay, but listen, you got to track that. I checked the other numbers, but you got to track
the 2015 New York Giants.
Yeah, Akiva, you're going to track that. But just so we have it on record for this week's game, sorry. So Washington at New York, I have the Giants winning. Akiva, what about you?
Yeah, Giants for sure.
Okay, Atlanta at Dallas. What do you say, Akiva?
Atlanta.
I'm going to say Dallas finds a way to get it done. Look, they beat the Eagles with Whedon at quarterback. Indy at Tennessee. I have Indy.
Yeah, Indy.
All right. Oakland at Cleveland. I have Cleveland.
I'm going to say Oakland.
Oakland. Ooh, yeah. Road win. Cincy at Baltimore. I have Baltimore.
Yeah, Baltimore.
And Jacksonville at New England.
New England. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. New Orleans at Carolina is our next game. Av, you want to guess a line here?
Well, we did this before.
This is with assuming Breeze is playing or not playing. What do we know?
Well, yeah, this was the line we're basing it off. Yeah, yeah.
Assuming Breeze with health.
I'm sure the line has changed. But
Panthers by 3.
Boy, Av yet again nails it. And it's good he's looking at the newspaper, not online, because the newspaper wasn't updated when Drew Breeze got.
No. I got it. I just got a new newspaper.
Oh, do you get tomorrow's newspaper?
I got the evening. Yeah, I'm like that guy, early edition, or the Coach Taylor.
Your Coach Taylor? Was that his name on the show, Coach Taylor?
That annoying cat that lives with me.
By the way, like a really, it was a, that, I don't know if you guys watched that show, early edition. But it was
I watched like every episode of that show. That was my favorite.
So did I. It was a really good premise for a show that was like done horribly. Like if they redid that show now, if they redid that,
I've never heard of this show.
It's a great premise though.
What show is this?
Coach Taylor. Every day he gets tomorrow's newspaper.
Yeah, and he has to like
Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, correct. It was his first,
that guy.
He gets the newspaper and then he has to like spend the day like preventing like the
tragedy.
Market crashing or like mostly like a murder from happening, and like his only friend is like a blind like older African American lady, and it was, the show was just like very like not gritty. But
when
like,
was this show on? What channel was this?
It was
on?
Like on in the 90s.
CBS.
It's funny because when on a Bill Simmons podcast, the guy who made Friday Night Lights, I think Peter Berg, said like he really liked Kyle Chandler, but he hated early edition so much that he didn't want to hire him.
Wait, hold on a second. Kyle Chandler was on both shows with the same. Oh, it wasn't Coach Taylor. Okay, I got it.
No, it was a joke. Oh boy. But I,
well, I didn't.
Someone
understand.
Should really
well,
remake
why
that
the guy
show.
Was a coach.
Remake well, that so show my, with who would be good though. For that remake of? Who would you remake that show with?
Who would I make that show with? I don't know.
Zach whatever Efron. There's an. Whenever there's an erroneous headline, you know, like Dewey defeats Truman, of course, you sort of celebratorily, which is not a word, hold up the wrong headline to prove, you know, that you buck the odds. So I just assume, would each episode end with them holding up the wrong newspaper
yes.
from the day before?
That's correct.
He's like, yeah, look, they said 47
I think
people die
each episode,
and they didn't.
Each episode comes back with him going back to his, like, way too darkly lit apartment.
Oh, you're being serious?
Yeah, no, it was like
wouldn't the newspaper change now, like Marty McFly style?
Yeah, I think the newspaper did change. I think that's how it ended. Like the newspaper changed back to like normal.
Oh, like there
nothing
would be interesting. Like 45
oh, so he doesn't
people
have,
in an explosion,
he,
and then
he doesn't
just...
have a copy of the wrong paper. It magically changes.
Yeah, nothing. And it's funny also because like nothing ever. There must have been zero murders in New York City that year. It was like no crime happened. There was no.
Wait,
news
he,
today.
He solved every one. He never.
No, 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 no. I'm sure he failed.
He may have at times. And the other part was like, they never really at all explained like what the fuck was going on. Tomorrow's paper every day, no explanation.
Clearly you missed the series finale, which they go into like the whole backstory. It's like the Jacob from Lost stuff. No, of course not. I'm sure it was canceled like in the middle of an episode.
Because I was going to end up being up till 2 a.m. tonight.
I know, but
that.
Chester, will you watch the show? Could we give you homework for next week? You watch like a random episode of Early Edition.
Send me a link. I'll watch it.
Okay. Wait, let's go for
it on YouTube.
Early Edition podcast. Let's do it.
Okay, so New Orleans at Carolina. Av said 3. He got it again. I said 4. Akiva said 3.5. You know, we both thought that Carolina is a little better than New Orleans, who's 0-2. And I mean, New Orleans is just bad. Honestly, they've lost what 5 or 6 games in a row at home. Now they lost badly to the Bucks, who we thought the week before were the worst team in the NFL. They lost badly to the Cardinals, who Akiva thinks is the best team in the NFL. Why were they, only getting 3 points in Carolina? Carolina's not great, but
because the Saints stink.
Yeah, that my question is so why were the Saints?
He thinks it should be higher.
Yeah, like
because the public still likes New Orleans. People don't like betting on teams with like good
not
defenses.
Anymore. Now that they have a random account, I think it's Luke McCown is their.
Well,
quarterback.
But this line was based on Breeze, so
yeah.
Maybe if Breeze doesn't play, I'm sure that number is going to go up to.
This game is
going to
be totally unwatchable. Carolina's the most boring, other than like Cam Newton.
You say that every week. You hate Carolina.
They're
boy.
The least.
Every week you say
they're
Panthers
the least,
game.
Other than like Newton flipping into the end zone. They're the least interesting team to watch. And
I mean, I'd rather watch this game than Oakland at Cleveland.
No,
I'd
Oakland at Cleveland will be a much more aesthetically interesting game than this. You want to watch? You want to watch like Billy McCown go down the field and kick a field goal once, maybe.
All right, so now let's get to this next game. Two teams in totally different directions, and we actually were going to bring Shamir on the podcast to discuss his 12-4, 500-point scoring Philadelphia Eagles behind MVP Sam Bradford and genius, smartest man on earth Chip Kelly. Philly goes to the Jets. Two teams in totally different directions. This line was guessed before the Jets' impressive win in Week 2.
Yeah, so I'll say this line is probably going to go up, but I'll say Jets by 1.5.
Yeah, so you both, and again, it's a little unfair to Av because he can't ignore what just happened, but you both had the Jets favored, which made no sense to me. I had Philly by one. It's Philly by 2.5. Ooh, so I was crazy. Too low. You well, it might change now. Akiva, you had Jets by 3, which...
Yeah, because look, I saw the Eagles play. Do you understand? Like, the truth is the Jets' run defense has not been as good as I thought it would be the first 2 weeks. But, like, do you understand? DeMarco Murray is not going to, you know, is not going to... I don't even know if they're going to try and run with him.
He's averaging less than half a yard a carry.
And he's getting hit. He's getting hit behind the line on average.
So, yeah, like, so but this is actually where I'm going to bring this up. You know... What I meant to say in last week's episode, you said, oh, the Vikings have a terrible roster. And what I was going to say is I had looked at every roster in the NFC, and I thought the Packers and Seahawks had the best two, have clearly the best two rosters. But after that, the only roster in the NFL that I thought was better than the Vikings is the Cowboys. And frankly, the Vikings is better going forward because it's younger. And that was before the Cowboys lost Romo. But the Eagles, as an example, you know, who would you rather have on the Eagles and the Vikings? The Vikings have a better quarterback. They have a better running back. They have a better offensive line. Their defense is way better. Maybe the Eagles are just bad.
Well, yeah, we always assumed they were just the system team. We just kind of assumed the system worked, and now for some reason it's totally broken.
Yeah, they were decent in the second half against the Falcons.
Cutting like the third best guard in the NFL would be bad in August?
Yeah, their guards are so terrible. It's just Chip Kelly's going down in a trail of flames, I think, which is why we really want Shamir on the podcast. But I think that we'll wait till next week, because if Philly loses to the Jets, mm-hmm. then it's really over.
But we're not having if Philly beats the Jets. We're not doing that.
Yeah, I agree with that policy.
But by the way, so New Orleans at Carolina, we both have the Panthers winning. Is that right, Akiva?
Yeah, sure, of course.
All right, Philly at the Jets. What's your pick in this game?
And pick the Jets.
Yeah, I'm torn here.
I want something from Sam Bradford, like that he's an NFL level player.
You know what? You've convinced me. I'm going for the Jets also. Philly's going to start 0-3, and we're going to have Shamir on the podcast next week.
And again, I think the Jets have beaten two like not so talented teams, so I'm not like going that crazy over the Jets. But I think the Eagles fall into the not so talent. Like the Jets could easily, the way they pass the ball around, like lose to, you know, New England or even like a Pittsburgh by 25 tomorrow, but this is not that team.
All right, now we have another unwatchable game, and that's Tampa Bay at Houston. Do you have a line for this one?
Houston minus 3.5.
All right, that's what Akiva said as well. I said 4.5, and it's 6.5.
Ooh, that's too high.
Yeah, what has Houston done? Why are they getting so much credit?
Ryan Mallett had 74 passing yards on 29 passes at one point.
Oh, in that case, yeah, I'll take Houston. I hadn't seen those numbers.
Like literally, if he was a running back, he would have been pulled. That's how many yards per attempt he was getting. I don't know. I guess people like fear this JJ. Like they're going to be 0-10, and people are like, well, they have JJ Watt. They're in every game.
Well, they do have JJ Watt. That's true. This is not a game that I have any interest in watching either. I'll pick Houston. Akiva, what about you?
Yeah, Houston. Tampa stinks. Lovie Smith's going to get fired. Put an asterisk next to his name and to fire this coach.
Because we had a string of a few really terrible games, can I quickly bring up a quick argument that me and a few of my friends were having this past week?
Sure.
One of my friends said, and Eitan Bednar, he often has very dumb opinions. He's maintained
the very famous ones.
He's against Thursday night football because it's usually a bad game, which I'm not even sure that's accurate.
But I think stats show that it's no different.
It's probably bullshit. But any event, the idea that we could have an additional game at 1 o'clock, so we have 10 games, of which probably 5 or 6 will be crappy anyway, versus, Thursday night, there's nothing else to do.
Why would he rather have another game?
Mystifying.
I was watching the Red Zone channel, and like there was a game that literally never, like, they didn't show a play of for over an hour and a half. It's like there's too much going on when there's 10 games.
Well, why does the NFL do 10-3? Why don't they do like 8-5?
Because they want to really protect. Like you saw, they put the two worst games of the whole week. Like they moved the Miami Jacksonville game to 4 o'clock.
Yeah, why was that game? At 4 o'clock?
I think maybe the Sun. I think they don't like playing like in that heat. You know, in early September.
Yeah, they want the primetime game.
That game does better. The end of those games do bigger numbers than Sunday Night Football. That's the most watched football time of the week. The end of a good 4 o'clock game. So yeah, they like
so
they,
those the are. Cowboys.
those are bigger games than like than you know any like those games are bigger than the Sunday night games this year.
Fine, so that part's fine. They want to have one game on either CBS.
Yeah, they want everyone just watching, and it switches off.
But yeah, this is my question then. On the other channel, right? And the other channel's showing the local game no matter what. And so people, for example, in Miami and Jacksonville, they didn't get. Why can't they have another? Why can't they have three or four games on the opposite channel then?
Because I think they're not allowed to.
What do you mean? They have to. That's the game of the week. That
right. So CBS
why they're paying
is not
billions of dollars. Yeah.
If Fox has the game of the week,
CBS.
They're only allowed to. Yeah, they're only allowed to air it if it's the local team, and then you don't get that game.
Yeah. Well, they also got to change that rule. Yeah, I don't like the rule that if the local team is playing, they're not going to show a game on the other channel.
Well, if they're playing on the road,
This is all to reward CBS and Fox. So I get it. It's basically rewarding them.
This is some real inside baseball.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Fine. So now we're gonna get to San Diego at Minnesota. Do you have a line for this one?
San Diego, Minnesota, I'll say Vikings by 2.5.
All right, so Av continues to cheat.
that's a crazy
It's
line.
Not that hard of a game.
Well, yeah, it's not that bad. I don't understand.
I thought this was an obvious Vikings by 3, and it's actually Vikings by 2, which is why Av gets it. And Akiva's at San Diego by 3, which makes no sense.
It makes sense. San Diego's better than Minnesota.
They're not 10 points better than them.
Yeah, San Diego by 3, meaning if it was in San Diego, they'd be favored by 9. That doesn't make any sense. The Vikings were favored by 3 against Detroit this past week and destroyed them. San Diego is, more or less a similar team. The Vikings is just so interesting because in week 1, do we just chalk it up as just the most anomalous week 1 performance?
No,
ever?
No, they're not
the Vikings
so good.
Were bad.
That's not anomalous. They weren't not that good.
That was the most anomalous performance in the history of sports.
Yeah, we can say that. How many anomalous performances have there even been?
I'm not saying that they're fantastic, but I'm saying San Francisco's a 2-4 team.
Yeah,
go
to Green Bay next week, and we'll see how anomalous you guys are.
Okay, but hold on. But this is what I'm saying. San Francisco is a 2-14 team.
No, they're not. No, they're a 6-10 team probably.
Whatever they're
two,
one of
nobody
the worst.
Goes 2-14 like a team that loses their quarterback or the Jaguars.
They're one of the worst teams in the NFL, and they destroyed the Vikings in every facet of the game. Carlos Hyde ran for like 170 yards and nothing the next week. And then Detroit, you want to know what Amir Abdullah and Joique Bell did combined yesterday? 10 carries for 11 yards. That's LeSean McCoy numbers.
Wow. By the way, a stat just came in about the Jets. The Jets had 20 points off turnovers last season. And they had 31. They had 31 points off turnovers last season, and 20. Yeah, the ESPN messed up the stat, not me, by the way. It said Jets. Oh, okay, that's this season. They have 31 points off turnovers this season, and they had 20 points off turnovers all of last season, which is insane. They were the worst team at creating turnovers, not even scoring off them in 23 years last season.
Wow,
23 years.
Yes.
Wow, so that's a good regression stat right there for why the Jets were going to be better.
There was a Jets stat that was mentioned during the game that I found shocking, that the Jets had not blown a fourth quarter lead of 8 points or more in 15 years. Doesn't it seem like they do that like 3 or 4 times a year?
No, I maybe by
that's
seven.
That's because Jets fans are so self.
Yeah,
I mean,
Jets has a theory that Jets fans are like, "Woe is me" for no reason.
No, just the Jets are a blah team. They're not particularly dramatically negative, like they like to pretend they are, But Mets and Jets fans just look. The Mets have
Let's
had
talk about how exciting the Vikings are. Blah team.
Well, no, I'm talking.
No,
the
Mets are
lose,
exciting. You don't
the
call the Mets
lose
a
an
blah
epic,
team.
The Vikings lose in epic fashion all the time. No, I'm saying the Mets do lose in epic fashion. The Mets have earned that reputation, sure. But Mets Jets fans just transferred onto the Jets. The Jets have no like heartbreaking losses.
Well, I don't even. My point would be, I don't think blowing an 8-point lead in the fourth quarter is an epic loss. Like that seems like that happens multiple times a week in the NFL. No,
yeah. Right.
So like that.
Yeah,
the fact
not
that the
even,
Jets haven't.
Not even. Yeah, it wasn't even double digits. It was 8 points.
Yeah,
that's
8 points. So like the fact that the Jets haven't done that in 15 years is pretty shocking.
But maybe they went out to big leads and lost them in like the third quarter or something because it was a fourth quarter.
Right, that could be.
Yeah, that 15 years does seem hard to believe. I would have guessed maybe a year or two. But listen, we've talked about the Jets enough on this podcast. It's time to talk about the Vikings. it was Peterson had 200 yards. And before we were recording, I pointed out Sam Bradford had a genius cheat move, which I still can't understand how he got away with. I'll just tell you briefly. Late in the game, it was 26-10, and it was garbage time. The Lions were driving down the field to score a garbage touchdown.
Okay, so you said like, Sam Bradford, so who are you really talking about?
Oh, Matthew Stafford.
Okay.
I mixed up my overrated mediocre NFC quarterbacks. Matthew Stafford is driving down the field. It's like 4th and 6. He completes a pass like it's near the marker, and it's and the Lions have no timeouts left at this point. The clock stops. They put the ball down, and if the clock is stopped, there's only two possibilities: either the Vikings have the ball because it's a turnover, they were short, or they're coming to measure it. Right?
Okay.
If it's a first down, the clock continues to run. Correct?
Okay.
And the clock is stopped. The ref puts the ball down. The chain guys start jogging out of the field, and Stafford just runs up, lines up his team, and snaps the ball really quickly and throws an incomplete pass. And then the refs huddle up, and basically they just say, all right, second down. So basically
really?
Stafford just went quickly enough that the refs didn't have a chance to blow their whistle and blow the play dead. And by the time the next play was completed, it's like, well, it's too late. You can't go back two plays now.
Listen, you know, if the Patriots and Belichick and Brady hadn't started this trend of cheating, then we wouldn't have shit like this happening week after week in the NFL.
Nobody cared because it was a 16-point game with a minute to go. But if that happened in a close game, I mean, how did the refs allow that to happen? And great move by Stafford, by the way. It was genius. It's you know, like when you rush up to quickly snap it before the other team can challenge a play. This is like next level from that.
Yeah, I would think under normal circumstances, the refs would say, no, sorry, that's not how this works. And,
well, it happened. Yeah, and they end up scoring a touchdown like two plays later.
Yeah, I think probably the fact that it was garbage time probably impacted that.
Yeah, so back to the Vikings for a second. I think I'm throwing game one out. It was, you know, a game that started at, you know, 10:30 at night. It was too late. It just made no sense for the Vikings to get so destroyed by what I think is one of the worst three or four teams in the NFL. And then in week two, they badly beat a Lions team who still has, you know, dreams of making the playoffs. So San Diego at Minnesota. Akiva, I think I know what your pick is.
Yeah, I think the Chargers like need it really badly and the Vikings aren't so good. So San Diego's going to win.
All right. I have the Vikings winning, but closer than, well, either their first two games, I guess. Off, you want to make a guess?
Yeah,
here?
Yeah, you took my teams, I'll take yours. But no, I like the Vikings this year also.
Yeah, and again, I you know, it's funny. I jumped off the bandwagon last week, and not only that, but I banned anyone else from getting on board. I said that their offensive line, without their two best offensive linemen, they were completely done. And in this game, you know, not only that Peterson gained, you know, almost 200 yards, Bridgewater wasn't sacked. I think he was sacked once for a 2-yard loss. That's it. And he just has some fantastic escapability. I mean, the play on which Peterson had the 49-yard reception was Bridgewater was completely – I was almost worried they were going to blow the whistle for him being in the grasp. And he flipped it underhand to Peterson, who was right next to him, who rumbled down. I mean, he really escapes pressure really well, which makes it difficult to get to sack him. And they also ran for 200 yards, 199 yards on the ground. And then again, that doesn't include the 49-yard scamper that Peterson got on essentially a running play. So – maybe the offensive line isn't as bad as I thought. And if that's the case, the defense has looked really good. The pass defense has looked good 2 weeks in a row. The run defense looked good in week two after getting gashed by Carlos Hyde in week one. So I'm back on board this team as being a 9-7 wildcard team.
I mean, it's not coming from the NFC South. It's probably not coming from the NFC East. So the wildcard options in the NFC are slowly dwindling. I mean, the AFC right now is just a so much healthier conference that it's just far superior.
Yeah, a lot of crazy injuries. By the way, vis-a-vis, you know, we were talking earlier about maybe this was just a really good week for people in guessing the spreads. I just got the updated spreadsheet for my Pick'em League, where I went 13-3, and the email begins with Ari Gleicher, our Bears fan, who's the commissioner of that league, saying, "Congratulations to so-and-so for having the best week in Pick'em history. He went 14-2. And scored 17 points by our scoring system. So yeah, so maybe going 13-3 this week wasn't that impressive. But now we have Pittsburgh at St. Louis, and I was just talking about how it's hard to get pressure on Teddy Bridgewater. Here's a great stat from the Pittsburgh San Francisco game: Ben Roethlisberger, no sacks, no pressures, no knockdowns, nothing. No defender in San Francisco got close to him.
Yeah, that line, and again, that's without Pouncey. I mean, that line we talked about a lot in the preseason, like it's really improved. And I mean, they're throwing D'Angelo Williams out there. He hasn't looked good in 6 years and they're making him, you know, he's been the best running back in the NFL so far. So, that you know, the Steelers on offense really have something working.
And, you know, yeah, it's really, you know, Ben always gets sacked. So if he's not going to get touched, and now they have Le'Veon Bell coming back, you know, they lost at New England. They beat San Francisco. I think that's what they wanted from those first two games. Well, they wanted to win, but I think that's what they could expect. Do you have a line on this, by the way?
I'll say Pittsburgh by 1.5.
So this one is 1, which is what I said. So I finally win a game. because Av's been cleaning up here. Akiva said 1.5 as well. This is an interesting game. St. Louis, you know, looked good in week one, but it turns out maybe they're just good against Seattle at home because they do win that game every year. And then they lost badly at Washington. And I picked Washington, but you know, I can't say that I expected St. Louis to look as bad as they did. Nick Foles looked like he's terrible. That was a lose-lose trade, possibly, the Bradford Foles
trade. I do think like historians are going to like look at the Nick Foles 27 touchdown, 2 interception season as like the biggest, you know, anomaly in the history of sports.
Well, we already had the biggest anomaly in the history of sports.
what do you think is the biggest
game?
Chester, what's really the biggest anomaly in the history of sports?
I can't say this off the cuff.
I got a good one. I have a good one. There's, I think there's only been like 12 or 13 unassisted triple plays, but they happened in back-to-back days in the 1920s, and then not again for 41 years.
That's for you.
Well, I was going to say throwing consecutive no-hitters is something that is just not going to happen again because the odds are so low. Mm-hmm. But I guess, yeah, unassisted triple plays, that happens less frequently than a no-hitter. So,
what about the Mets blowing 7-game leads 7 years apart in September?
Nah, because that somebody blows a lead like that every year.
Oh, forget it.
It just has to be, your team.
Nah, that's pretty rare.
All right, so Pittsburgh at St. Louis. Interesting game. I'm going to pick Pittsburgh because I don't think St. Louis is any good. Akiva, what about you?
Yeah, I do like St. Louis, but there are certain teams that they're going to struggle. You know, they're going to get down 10-0 and it's going to be game over. So I like Pittsburgh in this game.
Who beats Seattle and loses? I just killed a mosquito.
Well, maybe Seattle's not so good.
Well, but they're better than Washington.
Yeah, I would.
You're also discounting, you know, home versus away. St. Louis in general plays well at home.
Yeah, nobody goes and play Edward Jones though.
Yeah,
wins.
Exactly. Especially with those fired up fans, they love that team and they want to see their last 6 ever home games in St. Louis. So. All right, next game on the agenda here, we have another bad game, but it's a chance for Akiva to crow. San Francisco at his NFC Championship winning Arizona Cardinals.
It's the team we thought would be the worst team in the NFL against the team that we now know is the best team in the NFL.
Do you really think they're the best team in the NFL?
No.
If you were doing power rankings, where would you have
them? I'd say Patriots, Packers, Cardinals. But Cardinals are so far above anybody else, I think, at this point. Like, that's a tier, I think, those three teams. And, you know, the Seahawks can certainly get up there into that tier. You know, and maybe even like a Pittsburgh could. But I just think the Cardinals are so good, and you look back now and it's like, oh yeah, they were unbeatable with Carson Palmer last year and everyone's kind of sleeping on them.
Well, so I had them at 5 in my power rankings before this week's game and I moved them up to 4. You know, look, they've been really good, but first of all, we don't know if Carson Palmer can stay healthy. And
we know he can't.
They haven't played a good team. They played the Bears and the Saints, who are two teams who are 0-2, and two teams who got killed in the other two games in which they didn't play Arizona. So, and now they get to play San Francisco. So they haven't played anybody yet. We'll have to wait for them to play somebody to see. Do you want to guess the line, San Francisco at Arizona?
I'll say 6.5.
Jeez, he got another one on the money. Although Akiva also got this one exactly. Ob, you're very good at this game.
Thank you.
I had Arizona at 8. I don't know. And this is the second week in a row where I totally underrated San Francisco. Now, last week, it's because I didn't take week 1 into account. I thought week 1 was anomalous, as discussed. But this week, San Francisco just lost on the road by 25 points. And Pittsburgh, you know, without Le'Veon Bell, is not as good as Arizona, probably. So why is it only 6.5?
Because San Francisco is still a public team. People like the 49ers, even when they're not good.
They're a public team.
People are always going to back the Niners. Really? People don't realize the Cardinals are that good yet.
All right. It's early in the week, but right now, this would be my lock of the week. Arizona, 6.5. Akiva, you're picking Arizona to win, I assume?
Yeah, of course.
All right. Buffalo at Miami. Ah, what's your guess?
Nice game. Buffalo at Miami. Miami minus 3.
3. Ob gets it on the nose again.
4.
Yeah, you had 4. I had 3.5. I still thought Miami's a little better than Buffalo. Look, you had them winning the Super Bowl, and okay, they lost this week, but people seem to really turn on them really quickly. You know, it's fair. I guess Buffalo's – but every team in the AFC East looks decent right now, I guess, right?
Yeah, I think people are way too down on Miami. Like, yes, they lost to a really bad team, but, you know, I do think they're gelling. They definitely haven't figured out how to use Sue yet.
Well, yeah, I mean, did you see that article about Sue today?
What, that he was, like, freelancing?
He's been really bad.
Is that what you're talking about?
And people are complaining, yeah, that he's openly ignoring the play calls, and he's been a disaster so far. So that's another great contract. Do you have anything terrible to say to piss off Ellie Gray?
No, I predicted the Dolphins to win the Super Bowl. You have to be mad at me.
I forgot about that. It's late for all of us. All right, Chicago at Seattle. Do you have a line for this one?
Chicago at Seattle. I'll say Seattle by 9.5.
9.5. I think we all forgot that Jimmy Clausen might be prominently featured in this game. Like, he was at 7, which under any circumstance was insane.
Yeah, that's way too well.
Yeah, I said 10. It's 14.
Whoa.
Wow.
That's too much.
Yeah, but with Jimmy Clausen, I'd say, like, does that mean it's going up? That was 14 with Cutler?
No, that has to be with Clausen in, right?
I'm not sure if people know yet.
14 with Cutler would be crazy.
Yeah, that's nuts. I mean, they played the Packers close 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, well, I thought,
No, with Clausen, you could make it 1,000 and it's fine.
Yeah. All right, so we're picking Seattle. Moving on. Denver at Detroit. This is going to be a really interesting game, I think, on Sunday Night Football. Detroit's 0-2. They've lost to two sort of, playoff caliber teams, but they haven't looked particularly good in either one. Denver's 2-0. They've beaten two playoff caliber teams, but Peyton, who knows if he's finished or not.
We know he's finished.
Oh, he's not finished. He'll be fine.
He wasn't finished in the fourth quarter. Of
he'll be fine. The offensive line is the bigger problem.
Well, he's going to be done, yeah.
All right, so Av, do you want to guess the line here?
I'll say Broncos by 2.5.
So Av gets one on the money again. This is really incredible. Akiva also got it exactly, though. I had Denver by 2, so I was half point off, which is worthless for our endeavor. What are you picking, Akiva?
Who am I picking to win this game? Well, it might be Dan Orlovsky. So right now I'm going to pick Denver. And Matthew Stafford's
injured also?
Yeah, he's injured, but he has like a lot of minor injuries. So I think he's probably going to play, but we may see some Orlovsky.
There's an epidemic going on. What's going on?
I know, and it's really all in the NFC. Keep it there. Well, it's annoying because like the Jets, these guys keep getting hurt. Like the Jets play the Cowboys, but they play them after Dez and Romo are going to be back. They're going to be like 2-11, and they're going to be blowing the Jets out of the water.
Well, yeah, I did not 2-11. I don't think they're going to rush Romo back.
That's what they did last time. They didn't. He probably could have come back for the last 2 weeks if they were good, but they're already 1-6, and Wade Phillips got fired.
Yeah.
By the way, we have another guest on the podcast now. even though it's 1 in the morning, for some reason my wife just came in, deposited my 9-month-old baby on the carpet and walked out, and he's sitting smiling at me. How do you explain all these injuries in the NFC to the quarterbacks?
Okay, I'm not going to explain injuries. Next question.
No, I was actually asking my son, and he's smiling. So apparently he's happy about it. It's good for the Vikings also. I agree with you, Kobe. It's only good. All right. So who are you picking in this game? Akiva, you're picking Denver, you said.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm going to pick Denver also. You picked Denver to go like 5-11, so they got to start losing.
That's true.
All right. Now we got Monday Night Football. This is a bad game, I think.
But Kansas it was City funny. Mike Tirico at the end of the Jets game was like, he was promoting this game. He's like, next week, by the way, first of all, I want to correct a correction, Chester, from the preseason podcasts. I said that the ESPN got a bad slate of Monday night games this year, partially because they let Bill Simmons like trample all over Goodell in the NFL. And you're like, because the schedule came out and then Simmons got fired. But everything Simmons said, he said well before that. He just got fired for like one minor thing at the end. So your correction of me holds no validity. That's number one.
By the way, I did not make such a correction. I actually asked the question. I said, when did the schedule come out? And then it was Jake Lewin who said that.
Okay,
actually.
Fine. Number two.
Jake Lewin. How that will turn out tonight, Jake Lewin.
What's it called? You're right. It's not a great game because like you'd think that the Packers are just going to be up 21-3 at the.
Wait, do you want to guess a line here?
Well, hold on.
The week
and Tirico's like, I think that's the best game on next week's schedule because it's a really weak slate next week. And first of all, I could see Goodell like hearing that and like foaming the mouth, like calling the whole slate of games weak, so forget about it. Next year, ESPN's just going to have like, every combination of like Titans, Jaguars, Texans for 17 weeks.
Yeah.
By the way, this is a weak slate of games. I'm looking at this week's game. I think Denver at Detroit's an interesting game. Cincy at Baltimore.
Well, what's the national game of 4 o'clock?
What other good games are this week? Philly at the Jets, I guess, could be interesting, but Philly's been god-awful to watch, unfortunately, and the whole country's subjected.
The thing is, when QBs get hurt, these games become unwatchable.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's starting to happen. So, you're going to have teams like Dallas and New Orleans.
Hurt. That's how Bradford plays.
No, I know. But I'm saying, like, the Dallases, the New Orleans, maybe Detroit, you know, Chicago, like, every freaking team in the NFC, you know, is down a quarterback already.
All right, Av, what's your line for Kansas City at Green Bay?
6.5.
Oh, come on. What is going on?
It's not that hard.
And by the way, just to prove that it's a week late, the national game next week is Bears Seahawks moved to CBS.
Wait, they're allowed to shift it now if it's two NFC teams?
Yeah, they'll shift. They can shift.
How does that work?
They'll shift for, to give. Like if the schedule doesn't work, but CBS needs the game, but that is the big national game of the week, Bears Seahawks with Jimmy Clausen, and they can't even like move the other games to it because you know their CBS doesn't have any other games. It's Bills Dolphins.
All right, so against the spread with Av involved, Av wins 9-7-3. Me against Akiva. Akiva with a great comeback. I was winning 8-3, and then Akiva, you nailed 5 of the last 7 games exactly.
Nice.
And I was winning 7, and you end up winning 10-8 on the week. But I was overall. I was.
Hold on. Tell your kid 20. To pipe down.
Yeah. Hey, hey, Kobe. Shh. Sorry about that. You were 7 games off, more off than I was, because again, you have 3 games where you're totally off. Vikings Chargers game, you're totally off. Jets Eagles, you were totally off. Although that's going to switch, of course, now. And then the Chicago Seattle game. But yeah, this is a relatively weak lineup of games, which is fine for me because I'm not really going to watch any football this week because I'm going to be visiting an undisclosed location near where Akiva lives.
Well, I think, by the way, week 4, what do you think is the national game? Packers, Niners?
Wait a second. He just unplugged my computer. Hey.
Or Vikings, yeah. Broncos.
And by the way, I can tell you that the Jets line has already moved to Jets by this one.
Wow.
Akiva, can we complain about being observant Jews in Israel when these holidays start Sunday night, Monday? It's terrible.
Yeah, especially when the Jets game is... like the week 4, the Jets play at 9:30 a.m. Eastern time, and like somehow you can't watch the whole game here, but in America you could easily watch the whole game, and you know the game after it,
and most of the game after.
Yeah, and also the worst part, especially look, I live in Manhattan, so even if you don't see a game, it's easy to find the score from a TV on a bar sticking out the window or from a newspaper on every corner. When you're in Jerusalem. If you're not checking your computer yourself, there's no way to know the score.
On Rosh Hashanah, 2 different people came up to me and I told them to shut up. One guy said his son faxed him the 1 o'clock scores.
Oh, come on. Just admit you're watching TV on Rosh Hashanah, okay?
Another guy. No, I actually believe. I believe this guy. I believe he's because he only knew the 1 o'clock scores.
He said, that's what he wants you to believe.
That's because his son couldn't have known the 4. But I love that he has the facts because that way it'll print out and he doesn't.
Right, and then another guy knew like everyone's fantasy team stats and stuff. I'm like, no, don't tell me because I was able to watch a Jet game after the holiday without knowing who won. And then every other game, I watch the Jet game and then I watch the Red Zone channel, like the fourth quarter of the 1 o'clock Red Zone channel, and then the fourth quarter of the 4 o'clock Red Zone channel games.
You watch the Red Zone channel 2 days later, though.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was an option.
Yeah, you can do it on NFL Game Pass. It's amazing. And what I do is when I watch the Jet game, I avert my eyes from the bottom of the screen so I don't know who won the games. I only avert it in the fourth quarter because I'm only watching the fourth quarter. It doesn't matter if I know who's winning the first 3 quarter games. But it's great. And then I flip through the Sunday night games or the Monday night games and I could do the whole NFL slate in like an hour and a half. You can also, another thing you can do is you can quad box and watch 4 games at once.
The condensed games.
Yeah, you could.
But you can't quad box a condensed game. Then you're like everything's happening at all times.
It doesn't matter. You see, you could pause or whatever. I think you can quad box condensed games. There is some sort of thing you can't do, but now I forget. But anyway, let's wrap this up.
Yeah, so I'm coming to visit you this week. Ooh, I'm going.
We're not going to see each other.
another line movement.
What are the odds that we see each other? Let's be fair.
By the way, Av seems to have this newspaper from that TV show I never heard of.
Yeah.
His lines are moving.
Carolina is now -9.
Well, Luke McCown. People are licking their chops. By the way, that's too much, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Nine?
Carolina
score.
Yeah, they might
Carolina
not score
9 points.
They'll win 6-0.
Yeah. Akiva, I mean, I don't know if we should see each other because our relationship is pretty good, never having actually seen each other. So
yeah, that could really throw a wrench into things.
We'll go down.
We'll see. You know, I propose watching football, but we can't even do that the next 2 weeks. So
yeah, that would make our wives really mad. Yeah. Should I send you the pilot, the early edition, or just the random episode?
You choose a random episode. I'll try and watch it.
Send it to me.
Is it downloadable? Can I watch it on an airplane?
I'm going to send it to you on YouTube. I think you can download a YouTube episode somehow.
Oh, that's too complicated for me.
Just Google how to download a YouTube video. Sorry.
Yeah, we have had a request, Akiva, for a live podcast, so we might have to do that next week.
Okay, I would do that. Was the request from your wife? Because I figure if she gets both of us in the same place, she could just take us out with like bullets and that's
it. I see what you're saying. it's a prime target for a terrorist attack if we're in the same place.
Why would his wife care if you were still out there?
Yeah, that's true. Akiva, if I'm dead, she doesn't care if you're alive or not.
But I feel like if
she's doing your wife a favor.
That's true. But I also think like if she's going to kill one of us, it may as well just be me. Because one, she doesn't know me, and two, like, then you're not podcasting anymore. I don't think she has general problems with you. And maybe she does.
I was going to say, podcasting is not the only issue she has with me.
Now, I think this is for next week's podcast. We'll go and get into all your marital issues.
Considering the fact that it's 1 a.m. and she dumped my son here and went to bed. although he's just a big podcast fan.
I mean, she is a doctor and you're a podcaster. So I feel like, she wins the Who Watches the Kid battle.
Oh my goodness.
Doctor? Podcaster. No,
I did not get that reference.
That was Kerr, doctor of pharmacist. No?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, my medical advice is clearly better, yeah, because I'm in order to podcast, you have to be on lots of pharmaceutical drugs. So, all right, so that wraps up the week 2 in review, the week 3 preview podcast. Next week, we're going to try and record a live episode, but we will have to wait and see. I apologize for the interruptions on this episode, including my son talking in the background. I am not going to edit this because it's 1 a.m. and the two of us are going to go to bed. But thank you very much. And everyone, Av, thank you for joining us.
Sure. Are we going to start talking about the guests now?
Yeah. You have any plugs? Av, anything to plug?
Anything to plug? No, I have nothing to plug. My life is very boring.
You want to give us an ad?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be on Jimmy Kimmel this Thursday night.
You forgot to mention that one. All right. Well, everyone, have a good night.
Good night.